Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
What is the definition of faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But what does that mean in practical application? What qualified the men and women of Hebrews chapter 11 to be listed as faith heroes? Well, today we are going to begin to peel back the layers of faith to see how we can walk in full confidence with God. So join in the conversation as we seek to appropriate the definition of walking by faith. Faith is one of the foundations of Christian life, but most of us don't know the definition of faith. So can we start today just with looking to see what faith really is, a definition? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God."
You know, that word faith, Sharon, I'm not sure we can give a definition in just one or two lines, but let's open up and start to peel it back, all right?
Okay.
So faith is confidence, it's a reliance, and it's a trust that can be within us in our sense that we are able to comprehend and apprehend the invisible.
Okay.
But it is in a spiritual realm that we can see what is not visibly seen. And faith requires our ability to directly deal with God. It's really just confidence in God, who He absolutely is, His trustworthiness, His utter reliability. And there is a passage in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 2, where it gives us some idea of how we can somehow misappropriate our definition. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, "Now, when I came to you to talk to you, I did not use my words with persuasiveness of human wisdom, but I simply demonstrated the Spirit in power." And then he says, "Because I wanted your faith to not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And we misappropriate our faith today, even when we're searching to have it, because we're trying to find it in the wisdom of what man is saying.
Okay.
Rather than listening to the Spirit, who is unseen, but He is the one that directs our faith in the power of God.
So that's how we get off track with our faith.
Well, sometimes we think that faith is our faith. It's my faith. I've got to have enough faith to handle this trial. My faith is going to always fail because it's coming from humanity. It's coming from within me.
Okay.
There's got to be something else within me that can allow me to trust in the power of God. And the power of God is known, but it is not necessarily seen in a human form.
So when we say things like, "My faith will see me through," it depends on what how we're talking about faith, right?
Well, it depends on what kind of pronoun. My faith, resting in the confidence and reliance and trust of the author of my faith, can see me through. But
okay.
If it is Janie's faith that she's mustered up because she's going to handle this problem,
okay.
No, I'll fall flat on my face.
Okay.
And there is a scripture that validates that, and it's in Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus." It doesn't say looking unto Janie.
Yeah.
Or doesn't say looking unto Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
"Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He begins it, He sustains it, and He brings it to completion until there's no longer a need for faith because we're seeing Him face to face."
So this is really a relationship, isn't it?
It absolutely is. But let me finish this verse, Sharon, because
oh, okay.
it's got something neat.
So looking unto Jesus, who begins the faith, the author, and the finisher of our faith, why? Why does he do this? For the joy that was set before him. So he has a purpose of our joy being fulfilled in him, his joy being fulfilled in us. And so he begins the faith and he finishes it. That's just to me a neat little nugget in that verse telling you how it's all about him. But then there's more, Sharon.
Okay.
I don't want to cut the story short. But because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the cross? Well, it was a place of death. It was a place of shame. It was a place of rejection, finality. It was the end of the runway with no hope. It was death. Oh, but then there's the last little phrase. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that cross was death, but the resurrection brought life out of that death for the joy that he wanted us to have as we trusted him in faith. And now he's the authority set down at the right hand of God. And we don't think we can't trust Jesus? Woo! That one verse right there dispels to me the myth of not being able to put my faith in a person, Jesus Christ, rather than in some temporal object, a temporal government, a temporal relationship.
Right.
Jesus is forever. There's nothing temporal about him except he'll come to us in our temporalness and give us his eternalness.
Wow, Janie, that's a fullness that really speaks to me about how we can get off track just like the Israelites did when Moses disappeared for a little while on the mountain and they started making a golden calf. When we don't put our faith in Christ, in Jesus, who is the author and finisher, then our faith is in something else.
The blindness that we can have as soon as we are not living moment by moment in waiting upon him. There's a song, Sharon, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard it. It's called Trust and Obey.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
And the gentleman that wrote that song, no one ever heard about him. But he wound up working with D.L. Moody on writing songs that were not really made known until after his death. But trust and obey, for there's no other way. So you know he had to live a life that had some obstacles in it for him to write those words that are benefiting us today.
Right.
And I only say that today because sometimes, Sharon, if we would just say a simple word to someone, let me help you trust. Let me help you in this trial. Let me encourage you.
Do you think we get the last part of that and we start just trying to obey rather than trusting? So we start looking at the law and being legalistic in our ways of dealing and moving forward and moving through life, sort of just being more obedient rather than trusting.
Well, obedient unto what? Unto good service. I don't have to change my heart, Sharon.
Oh, that's
good. I can go home at night and gripe and mumble and complain about the very people I was serving with in the kitchen or in the finance committee or the building committee or the deacon committee or
whatever
the Sunday school class.
Right.
Whichever one. You can,
yeah.
Okay. And so it doesn't require me to have to obey according to the faith that we're told to have. But it's a performance. And you know what, Sharon, in a nutshell, it's death.
Yeah.
So let's just move on to something that produces life.
Right.
Let's don't serve and keep a dirty, smelly heart.
Well, and it seems like the church is really getting a bad rap these days when they're struggling just as much as the world is.
You know, Sharon, you're absolutely right. The church is experiencing a tragedy because we lack spiritual perception. That is because we don't know how to walk by faith. So we lack the spiritual perception and another huge word, discernment.
Okay. Okay.
We are so busy judging one another's performance and sometimes introspecting on our own performance or the lack thereof, that we really don't hear the Spirit telling us what has been declared as truth. Walk by faith, not by sight. The church has become so insensitive to the Spirit. Our insensitivity has become like the skin of a rhinoceros.
Goodness.
And here is the shocker. The church right now can say they believe that the way they are behaving in general is spiritual. They're justifying their complacency. They're justifying their words. They are saying it's okay for me to be operating at a comfortable level, and I don't want to be engaged in what Paul said we needed to be engaged in.
Right.
Standing for the truth, speaking the truth, and living the truth.
Right.
By faith.
Uh-huh.
No, we just want to be comfortable by faith. And that in itself is a contradiction in terms.
Right. So our definition of faith is not exactly what God's definition of faith is.
And it probably doesn't hurt for you to just read the verse that you opened up again.
Okay. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Boy, there's two things in that verse that really stand out to me, and it is that little two-letter word, is. We must believe that he is. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. How? Well, we must know, first of all, that he exists. We can't deny him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't deny him through unbelief. And then we have to believe that what he says is true, even if we don't understand what he's saying.
Oh, that's good, Janie.
How many times does somebody speak over your head and you just kind of block it out because you can't even comprehend the structure of the sentence? And they may be really giving you a vital truth.
Right.
But if you can't take in the process, then you're not going to know who he is.
Well, and I think part of our problem as believers is that we have our own definition of who God is. And so that definition supersedes who God says he is according to his word. And we're not in his word enough to know his word, so we don't know his mind. Because God has given us his mind, and it's called the Bible. It's called his written word. And so when we can know God for who he says he is according to his word, then faith is part of our relationship.
And it's the natural part.
Yeah.
All right. And how do we really begin with this, Sharon? Somebody may be listening to say, okay, girls, I like what you're saying. I just don't know where to start.
Right.
Go back and be a child. Go back with a childlike trust.
Mm-hmm.
A child didn't try to analyze faith when the child said, Daddy, we need to cross the street. Can I have your hand?
The visual that I get when you say childlike is that a child doesn't have any pre-definitions. They're just trusting that whatever the daddy tells them is truth.
And why do they just trust daddy? Because he's been faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He's already built an experience in their little hearts and lives that they just have to reach out their hand, and as soon as their hand is clasped in his, there is that sense of security. They're infallible because daddy is there. We could use that term and say because Abba Father has always proved himself faithful. You know, Sharon, as we have matured and grown into adults, we see how there are challenges with the outer being. We get sick. We have challenges. We have loss. And the Bible tells us that there is going to be an inner man wasting away, but there is a balance. There is every day, there is an inner strength renewal from God the Father. So when I wake up of a morning, I have learned to say, Lord, I'm alive by your grace, and I'm not going to hell. I can be thankful, Lord, because you have already been faithful to me, not only for carrying me through the night, but giving me the assurance that the first thing I can think when I wake up is, I have a security. I'm going to live forever. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, not in this old body.
Right.
But then that sets your heart to start to trust him on everything else that comes into your mind on how you are living by faith just as you start your prayer life. Mm-hmm. Father God, somebody almost died, but they are alive. And we're trusting you to bring healing to him. You can build your whole day around trusting in a confidence because you already know who your God is and you just have to put your hand in his hand.
Well, and you know, this idea that, you know, God, who am I that you're mindful of me, that you care about me, that you are tending to me? And that visual of God tending his creation, the God of the universe that created the stars, the moon, the heavens, the earth. I mean, the magnitude of who God is, that with just the word of his mouth that he would be able to speak things into existence. He created the smallest microorganism, and he created me. And for him to tend to us like we would a garden, you know, care for us and nurture us, water and feed, the soil's tilled up and those sorts of things. Just like we think about tending a garden, God loves his creation that he tends to us.
And, you know, that is where we have already seen the unseen. And that's why we can have that kind of description that you just gave. But Sharon, there's some in life who have known nothing but death, trauma, tragedy, loss. And they're saying, girls, I just don't know that kind of God. Mm. We probably just need to go back and take a little look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, because there is more to life, Sharon, than just 60 or 70 years.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So in a childlike effort, faith enables us to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. In other words, faith lets us have hope that mm-hmm. even though things right now seem like we're sinking in quicksand,
right,
that our existence is forever. And then we have the freedom to choose how we want to spend forever. And if we don't look at things that are not seen and learn how to trust, then we will sink if we just always make our life dependent upon sight, what we see.
Right. Right. Okay? That is so true. Because if we're always looking at the circumstances around us, Janie, then circumstances are not necessarily the facts of our life. They're just circumstances.
I think that's excellent, Sharon. And so let's just kind of recap what we're saying so far. Faith must have an object. The object cannot be in ourselves, our surroundings, our circumstances.
Or other people.
There is only one that who is mm-hmm. the author and finisher of the faith, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we must always be looking unto him. And then we need to recognize that faith is not, okay, I'm just going to kick back and just trust because I don't know what else to do. Faith is not passive.
It's not an action word, isn't it?
It is. And every time we speak of faith as an act of faith, it is followed by an activity of faith. And one of the best ways that you can kind of find a balance on that is by going to the book of James. And it teaches you more how to walk by faith and not get confused with walking by works as a mm-hmm. proof of your faith.
Right, right. That's a tightrope to balance, isn't it?
It is. And then it also tells us in James that we really need to be careful because we can allow some little seed of pride to slip in and rob us of our ability to trust because we'll be looking to our works to prove our faith, our sight, rather than just simple trust. What happens when the Lord allows someone to go to a sick bed for maybe years? Has he just cast them aside? They're passive. They can't get out and they can't go have some sort of public ministry, can't sing in a choir, can't teach Sunday school, can't cook, can't go out and evangelize. Are they useless? No. The Lord still can have them active on their bed of affliction because they may be interceding with a better capacity than 9/10 of the people who are busy up and running around and not being still and knowing that I am God.
Right. Not you, Janie.
Not me. No. Now that's Psalms 46:10. So now we know that faith must have an object.
Okay.
Faith must be built on the facts of truth. The facts of truth is that God is the author and the finisher. The next fact is we've got to live by faith. We can't just say, no, I'm not going to have a life of faith. I'm going to serve the Lord, but boy, I'm going to know what I'm doing. And it's got to be explained to me and it has to make sense to me.
Oh, right.
Then you're negating your walk of faith.
Okay.
I like what one person said. Faith is just another five-letter word until it is put into the action of testing.
Okay.
With the good life, plenty of food, plenty of trips, fun, fellowship, good times, do we really need faith? Well, yeah, we do, but we don't exercise it because there's not a need. So maybe what we need to keep people from becoming assumptive on anything is if you want to live the life of faith with activity, plan on testing.
Right. And those are the things that we look at and think God has forgotten us. Instead of saying, God, thank you that you are putting me through this trial that I can grow closer to you. Hear your voice. Understand what your purpose is for my heart to change, to mold me and shape me into your image.
Well, and I think as you're talking, Sharon, about how we say, oh, Lord, just bless us. Just bless us. And
protect us.
Protect us. And then the Lord brings a test. Because he's answering that prayer his way,
right,
not our way. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, well, Lord, what went wrong with my prayer? I thought I asked you to bless. And he's saying, I am. I'm trying to get the gunk out of your life so that I can flow freely through you.
So and you can live victorious right here and see me blameless at the throne.
Sharon, I heard somebody the other day say, oh, Lord, I know I'm impatient. Give me patience. And I thought, do you know what you've just asked? All right. So I just said, you're probably going to run into some really bumpy road. And I'll be standing in the gap for you. Because if you really want the Lord to answer that prayer.
Absolutely.
You're going to get stretched.
Absolutely.
And stretching is not comfortable.
Right. And so when we look at the physical trials and tribulations and the contending and the dying to self every day, that's where we're getting our struggle with the faith.
And in James 3, Sharon, it says, we all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So we need to accept the fact that we are going to stumble. But Sharon, in light of eternity,
right,
in light of the unseen being seen now, and when we grasp that truth, then we can walk here in faith, even though there are testings.
Changing our perception to see eternally instead of just right here physically. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.